Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. Excuse me. With us this morning are Steve Cromer, and I'm Janice Cromer, the director of America's Great Loop. Before we get started, I'd like to publicly thank our Admiral sponsors. They're so very important to us. Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications. AGLCA, as we call ourselves for short, is an organization of people who share the adventure and camaraderie of America's Great Loop. For those not familiar with the Great Loop, it's the continuous waterway that circles the eastern portion of North America. Our association was formed to disseminate information about this awesome journey. For those wishing to learn more about the Great Loop, visit our website at www.greatloop.org. Non-members can join the association at that site, or anyone can sign up for one of our one-day seminars that will give you a wealth of information about this cruising lifestyle that is the Great Loop. Our guest this week is Captain Chuck Baer. Chuck is a frequent contributor to the AGLCA discussion forum and really a recognized expert on all things cruising. Chuck and his wife, Susan Landry, have published several books detailing anchorages along the loop. They've been members of AGLCA since 2011, and they're currently cruising in Florida aboard their 34-foot marine trader, Beach House. Today, Chuck will talk about various weather sites that can be used to monitor the weather throughout the loop. Chuck, welcome. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Well, thanks for having me again, Janice. And first of all, let me apologize a little bit if I'm sitting on the deck of the Seacores Marina in Carabel, and there's a lot of background noise right now, so it gets a little noisy. I'm sorry about that. But they're working on it, mechanics working on our boat, and we can't get inside the boat, so this was our second choice.
Well, boaters are nothing if they're not flexible, so thanks again. Chuck, before we get started, where can our members or anyone listening purchase any of your anchorages books?
They're available from quite a few sources. We have our own website. It's at www.tgboa, just like the Great Book of Anchorages, .com. Uh-huh. And we sell the books on that website. We have four books out now, and if you buy through our website, there's a multiple book discount. And if you buy single books, of course, I don't know if you still have them on the AGLCA ship store or not at this point, but they were available there. They can also be ordered online through Blue Water Books, Landfall Navigation, through Maryland Nautical, and there are quite a few marinas and ship stores and bookstores up and down the East Coast that sell the books, and the locations are also all available on our website.
Well, that's fantastic. You have great coverage. We don't any longer have them in our ship store on the web on our website. We're basically just doing Burgess now and some cruising stories of the Great Loop. But anyway, we wish you luck. And why don't we get started? Weather, of course, is so important. It needs to be monitored daily while you're on the loop. Why don't you tell us what you do and give us some recommendations on the best sites to look for on the big waters on the loop?
Okay. Well, we use a variety of sources, and the reason why we don't stick to any one particular source is that if you check four or five different sources, you're probably going to get four or five different forecasts. And so we try to get as much information as we can. The other thing that we found over the years is that our friends at NOAA and the National Weather Service, well, they do a good job for the most part. We generally find a lot of inaccuracies in their forecasts when it comes to trying to forecast weather over large bodies of water. I'm not sure why that is, but it just seems to be our experience. So we try to pull in as much information as we can, and I think that it behooves most voters to learn enough about weather that you can almost become your own weather forecast. What we do, what we have done over the years is learn to look at weather maps and current conditions and look for trends rather than specific forecasts. And I'm sure most voters will agree, 9 times out of 10, we will find that if the forecast is for 5 to 10 knots, and keeping in mind that 5 to 10 knots is 5 to 10 knots, not 5 to 10 miles an hour, so you're looking at, you know, 7 to 12, 7 to 13 miles an hour in wind speeds when they forecast knots. But what we've typically found is if the forecast is 5 to 10, usually what we see is 10 to 15. So we have gotten into the habit over the years of taking the forecasts for the wind conditions, adding 5 knots, taking the sea state that's forecast, doubling that, and then using that as kind of a guideline, saying, okay, this is probably going to be worst-case situation. Do we feel comfortable going out in this in these conditions? And most of the time, we're pretty close to the actual conditions as opposed to what's forecast. But then, you know, there are times when the National Weather Service is right on, and our predictions are a little bit over that. So, you know, that's just kind of our guideline and kind of what we do. We look at the National Weather Service forecasts. We look at the marine forecasts. We'll look at buoy reports, and I'll give you some of my websites that we use to pull up all of that information. But we use buoy reports for current conditions right up to 5 minutes before we fire the engine up and pull up the anchor or untie the dock line, to get an idea of what to expect once we get out on the water, because as we all know, sitting in a harbor most of the time, the conditions are nowhere near what we'll find once we get out into, you know, one of the lakes or the bays or getting out trying to cross the Gulf.
Chuck, why is it that, well, I don't know how to quite put this, I know for boaters the rule of thumb is to double the wave action that NOAA predicts. Why doesn't NOAA just change their prediction?
Well, you know, I've asked myself that same question, and I have asked NOAA that question and really not gotten much of a response. But
really?
I can say this, that normally when they're talking about waves, they're talking about swell height. And, for instance, you can have 1 to 2 foot swell heights, but if it's blowing 15 or 20, you can have 2 to 3 foot wind waves on top of those swells. So now those 2 footers can be 4 to 5 feet. And that's kind of the conditions that we ran into about a week ago when we headed out. And, you know, we were actually 2 weeks ago. We were looking at 1 to 2 footers, but with 10 to 15 knots of wind on the nose, they were piling those wind waves on top of the swells, and everything was just breaking over the bow of the boat. Now, that's okay if you're in a 40 or 50-foot trawler, but when you're in a 34-footer, that's pretty uncomfortable.
That's probably the clearest explanation I have ever heard of why we need to double the wave height. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Why don't you give us some, well, I guess my first question, to supplement the forecast that you research, do you recommend boaters take some kind of weather course to understand better?
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt or buy some of the books that are available to kind of learn what all of the things that you see in these forecasts actually mean. You know, there's simple things like knowing how high pressure and low pressure systems react in conjunction with each other to get a good idea of the winds, and being able to look at a weather fax, for instance, and knowing that you're looking at a pressure gradient in your immediate area that are very tight. It doesn't matter what the National Weather Service says, you're going to have heavy winds. On the other hand, if you're looking at weather gradients that are spaced far apart, then the winds are going to be light. Things that, like, for instance, the winds generally flow along the direction of those weather gradients. There are things that affect it, like land masses and things like that, and those are all the types of things that you can learn without getting a degree in meteorology. And there's some excellent books that help you with that. There is a fellow, I'm trying to see if I can find his website now. There is a fellow in the UK who does an excellent, excellent job of explaining weather. He's got kind of like an online course that you can take. And if I can find it here on my computer here in a minute, I'll tell you what it is. But
okay.
There are all kinds of resources available out there for you to just get the basics. And once you have the basics, it can go a long way in helping you make your own determination.
Steve, if I can ask you a question, I know you took the Power Squadron weather course. How helpful did you find that when you're getting ready to cruise?
Once I got used to the language, it was dandy.
Okay, so you would recommend that?
Yeah. It's a whole different language than you're used to talking or working with, and understanding it is tough.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Jeff, if you don't mind, share with us some of those major weather sites that you would recommend for the general weather.
Okay, and I found the weather site. It's Frank Singleton's, that's S-I-N-G-L-E. T-O-N, Frank Singleton's Weather and Sailing Pages. And, you know, he does an excellent, excellent job of taking you through the basics, and then you can even get into more detailed, more specific things if you want to. But a lot of good information there. All right, some of the sites that I use, I guess we could kind of start up in the Great Lakes there. And the Canadian government, of course, puts out forecasts on the VHF just like the NOAA does and the Coast Guard. So those things are available. But there's a lot of information that can be found on the Canadian website, and it's weather.gc.ca. And you can pull up maps for the specific lakes, and on those maps you'll find weather stations all over. For local conditions, and you just click on one of the dots for the weather station, and it will bring up the details for that weather station as far as wind conditions and temperatures. You can pull up forecasts for the next 7 days and things like that, and they'll have them for each individual section of the lake, and this will be on the Canadian side, which is very helpful because there's a lot of information that's available on the U.S. side from various sources. But this is a primary one that I think that most boaters would find. You can go in and pull up radars and satellite images and marine forecasts, water levels and flows and a lot of different things. So there's just a ton of information there. The NOAA also has a marine forecast for the Great Lakes, and that's at www.nws.noaa.gov. And pull up the Great Lakes section, you can get the Great Lakes forecasts in text, and they do it by specific zone. So it's broken up in zones, so you can look at just the area that you're going to be cruising in for that particular day or that particular week. And now that same NOAA forecast and the text zones we use everywhere. That thing will break down the zones, and it does the offshore forecast 20 miles out and 20 to 60 miles out for the entire U.S. coast and the Great Lakes. So that's an excellent, excellent forecast and weather information access.
Okay, if you can just excuse me for 1 second, Chuck.
Sure.
I think this is probably a good time. I want to just make sure we get our commercial in today. We'd like to hear this morning from our commander sponsor, Pantaneous America.
What makes Pantaneous America's yacht insurance special? Pantaneous America provides coverage and flexibility without any hidden or implied warranties. Licensed in all 50 states, Pantaneous America offers unparalleled service through our international network of offices. Pantaneous America allows for extremely liberal navigational limits. Pantaneous America's experienced worldwide claims staff is there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With no deductible for fire, lightning, and total loss claims, Pantaneous America is always by your side. Call or visit us today and ask about our special offers for Great Loop Cruisers. 914-381-2066. Pantaneous America is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Okay, Chuck, where would you like to pick up? We kind of, you advised us on the Great Lakes.
Right.
It sounds like a lot of the weather sites that you're recommending, which is wonderful, of course, are general, I mean, a general web page, and then you can kind of zoom in on the area that you're looking to study.
Exactly. One of the others that we like, and it worked again for the Great Lakes or anywhere you are, Great Lakes, river system, whether you're along the coast or any place you may find yourself, is Weather Underground. And Weather Underground has just a ton of information that's available, and you have to kind of get in and play with the website. But the thing that I like about Weather Underground is you can do a search for a specific location, and then you can look for different information. It will give you marine maps and weather forecasts, and it will give you wave forecasts. You can pull up buoy reports. And the other thing that I like about Weather Underground is they have a little button on the side that you can click on to bring up different things. It can show weather fronts, and you can also show weather stations. And these weather stations are individuals who have the little weather stations. We have one on board the boat that you stick out the field somewhere, put it up on a roof, and it gives you temperature and wind strength and direction and dew points and barometric pressure and rainfall amounts and all that type of thing. But these folks have their weather stations broadcasting to Weather Underground's computers, and then they show up on the website when you click on for a specific area that you're looking for. The great thing about that is that, and I'll talk about the National Data Buoy System in a minute, but with those weather stations, you have virtually hundreds of these little weather stations all around you, wherever you happen to be or wherever you happen to want to be, and that you can click on, and they won't give you forecasts, but they will give you current conditions. And they also have little that will show you what the wind has been for like the last 24 hours, so that, again, you can look for trends. And I can't emphasize that enough. When we're looking at weather, we're looking at trends and not necessarily specific forecasts, although that's important. So you can look at these little charts and see if the wind speeds are trending up or down and exactly what they're doing right now, this minute, before you, again, fire up the engine and start heading out across the Gulf of Mexico or something like that. So Weather Underground is an excellent, excellent resource.
I honestly had never heard of that site, so thank you very much. It's good to know.
Yeah. All right. And some of the others that we look at, and, of course, the two things that concern us most that we're, when we're heading out is, you know, wind strength and direction and wave heights, and especially when we're getting ready to make a crossing for the Gulf of Mexico or something like that. So there is a website called passageweather.com, and I think that maybe most of our members that are traveling or have been traveling probably know that website. And what it does is it gives you a wind and wave forecast. And when you open the thing up, there's a map of the entire world with a bunch of little boxes. And you click on the boxes and zero down to your specific area. And this covers everything. I mean, it's the Great Lakes, the U.S. You can look at the weather in Europe if you want to. And it will bring up, first of all, a surface wind analysis for the next 7 days for that entire little box that you clicked on. Right now I'm looking at the one for the Gulf of Mexico, and the forecast for today and tonight is absolutely perfect. They're forecasting 5 knots of wind most of the day and through the night, which are eventually going to go around to the north and the east, and then tomorrow winds are going to start picking up again. But anyway, that will give you, you know, a week's worth of weather forecast.
Uh-huh.
It gives you surface pressure maps, and again, you know, I talked about those surface pressures, and you'll look at these maps and you'll see these little gradient marks. And those marks where they're tight together, if you're sitting in a location where that map is, or those marks are tight together, it's going to be windy. Now, the exact wind that it's going to be, you found that out from the other map that you looked at first. But when you see a tight pressure gradient, it's going to be windy, and the winds are generally going to come from the direction that those gradients are flowing. When it's wide, spaced out, far apart, you're looking at light winds, and they could be coming from almost any direction. And then it gives you wave height. Again, forecast for wave height, and it will give you a little scale, colored scale, to show you what the wave heights will be, and then it little arrows throughout the map to show you the directions that the waves of the swells are going to come from. And keep in mind, again, this is generally talking about swells as opposed to waves, because the waves will change with the direction of the winds. You can have north winds and a southerly swell. That's not an uncomfortable situation, but you can certainly have that. But anyway, that's all available on passageweather.com. That's an excellent, excellent site that we use. Some others that we use are WindFinder, which will, again, let you search for specific areas, and that will give you wind forecasts and wind direction forecasts for, you know, like a week out for your specific area. That's an excellent one that we use. Weather Underground, again, and the NOAA text forecast by zones covers, like I said, the entire United States, East Coast, West Coast, Great Lakes, and everything. Let's see, what else? Oh, the National Data Buoy Center. If you go to National Weather or NOAA's site for the National Data Buoy Center, it pulls up, again, a map of most of the planet. And you'll see a bunch of little yellow and red dots on that huge map. And then what you have to do is start, you know, so you can move the map around, center it to where you're going to be, and then start zooming in. Right now I'm zooming in on the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm looking, and there are just hundreds and hundreds of these little yellow dots all along the pan out into the Gulf. And you'll see some red dots also. The red dots are buoys or weather stations that haven't reported anything in the last 8 hours. They kind of ignore those. But you can click on the little yellow dots, and it will bring up a little box that tells you the location and the number. And then you can click on it to do view details. You can bring up the details that will tell you if it's a buoy in the water. It will tell you the wind strength at the buoy. It will tell you the wave height at the buoy. It will tell you the wave direction and a lot of different things. It will give you the history for the buoy, whether it be wind or wave, for a 24-hour period. So you can go back and see if it's been blowing all night long and the winds are starting to drop off, or if it was calm all night long and it had, you know, it's picking up. I'm looking at the one right now off of Tyndall Air Force Base, and it's showing 15 to 16 knots out of the east-northeast, which isn't quite what we want for a crossing, but then that's a little farther out in the Gulf. Here in the Big Bend area, the buoys are reporting more like 5 to 8 knots. So that's an excellent source, and this is one of the things that really, really drive me crazy about the National Weather Service forecast. Because we will look at these buoys, and the winds will be out of, let's say, they'll be out of the east, and they'll be blowing 10 to 15, and wave height is 3 to 4 feet. But you will hear the National Weather Service forecasting all day long 5 knots or less of wind, 1 to 2 feet, or 1 foot or less of seas, and totally ignoring the conditions that their own weather stations and buoys are reporting. And I have asked them why that is, and, you know, never gotten any kind of an answer from them. But that's the reason why I say that if you're going to do this seriously, voting thing seriously, and if you're going to do it long term, you almost really need to become your own weather forecast.
Well, that is excellent advice. Two concerns come to mind. If you don't have a computer aboard, which I know in this day and age is very, very rare,
right?
For a few of our voters that, you know, aren't computerized yet, what resources? I know NOAA broadcasts over VHF, but is there anything else they can do?
Well, at that point, you're limited. Now, you probably, if you have a smartphone, there are several weather apps. You have to find one that both you like and you know, that gives you relatively consistent, good information. There are a lot of apps out there. Some are good, some not so good. So a smartphone is another option. And one that a lot of folks overlook is your TV set. Now, again, yeah, sure. You have to be careful. If you're looking at local news, you have to remember that the local news on most TV channels is done for the entertainment value, basically, but there is some good information in there if you really take a hard look at it. And they generally will do radar maps, and they'll do weather fronts and things like that, and they'll kind of show you some of the weather fronts and how they're progressing and give you some kind of an idea when they're going to come into the local area and how strong they're going to be. A strong weather front is going to bring you a lot of wind, a lot of rain, stormy conditions. A weak dry front, you know, will give you a little change in wind direction, but pretty much nothing else. So you can kind of glean that information from the TV. And since we all have channels now, if you're within an area that you can pick up the digital channels over the air and you can pick up large markets like Panama City or Miami or whatever, a lot of the TV stations will have a channel that's set aside that does nothing but broadcast weather. And we have used that, especially in South Florida in the summertime. We'll have that channel tuned in on the television set as we're traveling because it's a constant weather map that's up there all the time. And like in Florida in the summertime, for instance, the pop-up thunderstorms that come up, we'll see those in real time as they come up on that weather map from the TV station, and we'll see the direction that they're moving so that we'll know if one's coming our way and we need to button down or get the anchor down or whatever, or if we're going to get missed by those. So that's another resource. It's again, limited. It's not as much as you would have if you had a computer available, but that information's still there.
That is an excellent suggestion. Thank you very much. We are almost out of time, but I did want to ask one question. Everybody, I hope everybody who's a member knows of Eddie's Weather Wags in the morning to help us get across the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
There's been some chatter, and I'm not sure if you're familiar. I believe there's a similar type of service for the Bahamas.
Yes, it's a paid service, and
okay.
It's put out by Chris Parker. Chris has been doing that for years and years, and he covers the Bahamas and the Caribbean, not so much the U.S., but he does cover the area between the coast and the Bahamas for those crossings. You can find Chris's website online to sign up, and you need a couple of things. Now, in order to get his weather, you need if you have a single sideband or HF radio on boat or even just an HF receiver, you will get his broadcasts every morning on about four or five different frequencies on the HF radio, his voice broadcast. You can also get his voice broadcasts over his website if you have a computer and internet access. He also will email you a specific forecast just done for you and your boat for the area that you plan on transiting, but again, you have to be able to receive his emails.
His email. Okay, well, that is great information. Before we close up, you've been great, Chuck. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, you know, weather and transiting and that is a real specific thing to each crew and each boat. And there are a lot of times when we won't make a crossing when other boats will take off and leave. The larger boats, of course, are more comfortable than ours. But, you know, one thing that we have found that has gotten most boaters in trouble more than anything else is having to keep to some kind of a schedule and saying, oh, okay, well, this probably isn't bad. I have to be somewhere for some reason, so I'm going to go. And those are usually the instances that most people wind up having problems and issues and getting into trouble. So we always urge everyone to avoid having to meet a schedule at all possible. And if you do, you still have to be prudent in your decisions.
Well, thank you for that advice. I think it's very, very wise. Just one bit of personal information. I'm not a weather expert. Steve is much more educated than I am. But when we're making a decision in the morning of whether to go or not go, either one of us has the ability or the power or the responsibility to make the decision. If one of us says no, we don't go. So,
and that's, we do the exact same thing. I think that's very smart, yes.
Well, Steve has, this is kind of crazy, but Steve's got the knowledge, and I've got the intuition of when I'm just getting a bad feeling, so the combination works, whatever.
Yep, been there, done that.
Well, one of my lessons on weather is sitting on the boat, looking at the NOAA radar picture, and debating whether I should leave or not. And then finally, for some reason, I had to go outside and put the garbage out. And looked up, and there was huge black clouds out there. Sitting inside looking at the radar didn't help at all with that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. One thing I might add, if we got a second, Bruce Van Sant, we got to know Bruce Van Sant very well. And for people that don't know, Bruce wrote the book when traveling down through the Bahamas and down the island chain in the Caribbean. And Bruce gave us some very good advice a long time ago that, and we learned right off that if you follow Bruce's advice, you never have any problems. When you don't, we invariably run into problems. But anyway, Bruce gave us some advice. And he said that if the weather forecast remains the same and it's a good forecast for today, tonight, and tomorrow, you're probably good to go. On the other hand, if it's one forecast today, another forecast tonight, and another forecast tomorrow, there's two things. First of all, the weather's unsettled. Second of all, the weather forecasters haven't figured out what the hell it's going to do. So stay in port. And, you know, we have used that advice over the last 20 years, and it has not let us down.
Wonderful. Thank you for closing with that. Chuck, I think this has been one of our great shows. Thank you so much. And to everybody listening out there, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season next week. Everyone, share the welcoming spirit of the holidays. Safe cruising. And we do plan to broadcast next Friday, the day after Christmas. So happy holidays to everyone, and talk to you next week. Chuck, say hello to Susan, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to all of our members, and have a Happy New Year, and we'll see you all on the water.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.